Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Wednesday. First of yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back. Well, actually, it's a special one today because it was a day off yesterday. That was Waitangi Day. So I'm going to extend it out slightly, and we'll look back at both yesterday and Monday as well. It'll mostly be about Waitangi. We'll put a little bit of sexual harassment in there as well, or harassment, depending on which school you went to. But yes, first up, let's go back to Monday and preview the Waitangi coverage and how Kate Hawkesby hoped it would go.
If you're going to go somewhere for 5 days and be around people, a culture so respectful of whanau is the place to do it. A pregnant PM at Waitangi for a week is a perfect storm. Well, as long as it's a Labour Prime Minister. So kudos to her for playing to her base. But more importantly, let's hope something meaningful comes from it. So far, the media coverage of a day supposed to be for all New Zealanders has largely felt like it's a day for the Prime Minister. Her greatest challenge may well be to deflect the enormous spotlight put on her and try and share it around the issues and those around her. It must be hard when you're a rock star PM, as she's been anointed by the media, to sound like a team player, to make it about more than just you. If her 5 days up there generates any real long-term tangible improvements to the way we commemorate Waitangi Day in this country, then that's a win. Let's hope we get more than just lots of photo opportunities of the PM peeling spuds in the Marae kitchen. It seems to have been conveniently forgotten that Bill English gave two speeches last Waitangi Day, parts in Te Reo, in fact. He spoke at Bastion Point, hosted by Ngāti Whātua. His two speeches were widely praised by those present as being remarkable. He addressed pertinent issues as well as celebrating iwi enterprise, leadership and courage to make decisions, the economic and cultural importance of iwi to the whole country. In a nutshell, it was positive. But those speeches were barely reported. Why? Well, the positivity may be the first clue, because Waitangi Day attracts a certain type of coverage. So perhaps if we are to make strides on Waitangi Day as a day for all New Zealanders, then the way we cover it might well be a good place to start.
Okay, so let's wander through some Waitangi sentiments in more or less chronological order. We'll move on to, and there was Kate very early Monday morning. Let's hear what Andrew Dickens had to say Monday afternoon.
Anzac Day is Anzac Day. It's a day to look back. But Waitangi Day is a day to look forward as our original peoples and our newest arrivals all get together and celebrate and pledge unity and progress with debate. And Waitangi Day is a good day. I will not hear any truck with the fact that it's a miserable, horrible day full of dispute. I was in Australia this year for Australia Day. Their day is riven with anger. There are three Melbourne councils who choose not to celebrate the day because some call it Invasion Day because it only commemorates the arrival of European settlers. Our day, Waitangi Day, commemorates when Māori and the settlers chose to work together to forge a nation far more positive than the arrival of the colonisers. That said, I did watch an Australia Day parade down Swanston Street in Melbourne a couple of weeks ago. It crackled with positivity. I lost count of all the different ethnic groups who marched in their own culture's clothes, but under the banner of one country. Some Waitangi Day parades would not be a bad idea. My Waitangi Days have been uniformly excellent. I've either spent it with family, gone to the beach, I've been to festivals, they're magnificent, and I've been once to the treaty grounds. I've never seen nastiness, I've only seen positivity. So tomorrow is the day that we chose to forge a nation back in 1840. And sure, there are people on both sides that have problems with that implementation, but fundamentally, Waitangi Day is the soundest and best day to have as a national day.
So Andrew responding there to suggestions that Anzac Day should be our national day, not Waitangi Day, obviously. Do we actually have to have a national day? Is it compulsory? I didn't realise that there's some international law that says you must have a national day. But anyway, can we just have more holidays? Can we have a new one? Just give us another day off. That'd be, I'd just call it National Day. Oh no, that sounds a bit political, doesn't it? Speaking of national, here's Bill English from Waitangi Day itself.
How are you spending Waitangi Day today? You're in Bluff.
I will be in, I'm in Bluff and celebrating Ngāi Tahu's official Waitangi celebration with Sir Tipene O'Regan, people from Ngāi Tahu, and of course quite a lot of locals, which will include a few tourists and hangers-on who are, I think, fascinated by the way that New Zealand's National Day works, because it's different than anywhere else in the world.
It is different than anywhere else in the world. Sometimes it can feel a bit divided. Do you think we're getting over that now, Mr. English? Do you think we're finally realising we can just have a day and enjoy ourselves without the muckraking that sometimes goes with it?
Yeah, I think so. And look, there's been a lot of work go into that. I've been going to Waitangi itself for quite a long time over the last 25 years or so. And there's no doubt that the progress of the last 10, 15 years, particularly the last 10 years around treaty settlements, has meant there's just a lot less protest pressure. And then just in the last year or two, I think we all got tired of the shenanigans that were going on there, getting national attention for things that didn't matter at all. And so last year as Prime Minister, partly with the encouragement of a number of Māori, actually, I decided not to go. That's been one of the things I think that's helped them organise themselves much better this year. And it looks like they're going to have a successful and peaceful Waitangi Day in Waitangi.
So that's Chris Lynch on the Breakfast Show yesterday. Bill English, about as far away from Waitangi as you can possibly get without actually falling off New Zealand. Interesting move. Of course, Jacinda, she was right in the middle of it.
So you're calling for accountability of your own government. How does that work?
Yeah, and look, there are plenty of areas where it's pretty easy to tell whether or not we're making progress. And look, it won't necessarily be that measurable within 12 months. But in particular areas around unemployment, around how kids are doing, around the opportunities that young people have, those are areas where I think we should be held to account. And they are areas where Māori are overrepresented, particularly now our poverty statistics, for instance. So if we target poverty, then we benefit our Māori population and ultimately all of New Zealand.
How do you solve those bad stats?
Well, for things like poverty, it is basically, if you've got a low-wage economy, that has a flow-on effect. And so we know that from, for instance, what we did last year with the Working for Families package will make a difference to over 380,000 families on low and middle incomes, and will make a big difference there, what we do with the minimum wage. But ultimately, in places like Northland, it's also job opportunities, because we do have higher levels of unemployment here. So we've used the past few days that we've had here to have really practical conversations with local government around particular tourism projects, infrastructure, even their access to internet services, and roading. All of that will make a difference.
So far, smooth sailing. The TV news will be gutted about that. You think you'll be challenged today? Haven't been so far on this trip.
Look, the point that I've tried to make is, even if we are, you know, that is not a mark of our National Day somehow failing. I mean, I think we value as a country the fact that we do speak openly, frankly, about our differences or about areas where we think, you know, we need to challenge the need for change. And so why wouldn't we do that on a national day as well? So I don't think that's something to be, necessarily worry about. You always hope you don't get things thrown at you, of course, but I think if people do speak frankly with one another on Waitangi Day, then that's who we are. And that will be a part of the mix probably in future Waitangi Days, even if it's not here today.
All right. So while we're on the topic of holding people accountable, we'll leave the Waitangi Day there, given that it's over for another year. But we will hear from Julianne Genter now. This is again from Monday afternoon now, because she wants to track sexual harassment claims.
So can you just explain what the rationale for this is? Why do you want to do this? Why do we need to do this?
Well, sexual harassment in the workplace has been blowing up as a major issue internationally and even here in New Zealand. Because of the Me Too hashtag, we've seen a number of people, mainly women, sharing very disturbing stories of cases of sexual harassment, oftentimes in the workplace. And we've been asked questions about it, and as a result of those questions, we discovered that MB wasn't currently keeping data specifically on cases of sexual harassment, although they do record it for bullying and other types of workplace harassment. So it's just been lumped in with any sort of harassment in the workplace.
Right, and this is MBIE, is it, and the Human Rights Commission. Is that correct?
Well, there's two different pathways to laying a complaint under New Zealand law. So under the Human Rights Act, Someone can lay a complaint through the Human Rights Commission. And then under the Employment Relations Act, we have a process for laying a complaint, which goes through MB. And it was specifically MB who told us they weren't collecting data on it. And we said, well, could you, you know, make that a category that is separate so we understand exactly what the extent of the problem is? And they said yes. So it's a small first step. But I also think that just talking about the issue more is important in order to change the culture and ensure that people feel safe in their workplace and understand that we have a government, we have a system of support in place that will be there to listen, who will believe, and who will do something about it.
Right. I think it pretty much wraps it up for men, doesn't it? I think we've had our terrible time. The ladies don't really need us anymore. Oh, we've caused nothing but trouble for a long time, and we should probably just let the last of us die out, and women, robots and aliens can take over from here. Don't you think? I think that'd be best for everyone. I am Glenn ZB. That was a sort of a double dose of News Talk ZB for Wednesday. We'll see you back here for the normal amount tomorrow.